You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our weekly look at the Minnesota Twins. And joined by Rhett Bollinger, who had a look at the Twins from afar last week. Rhett was in South Korea, in Byung-ho Park's native land, and checking out the sites there. And a lot of baseball sites there, Rhett, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a baseball-crazy country. They love their baseball out there in Korea. You know, everywhere you look, there's fans wearing MLB hats, especially now with Byung-ho Park, a lot of Twins hats. But obviously a lot of Dodgers hats. I think Ryu's the most popular player still over there. Jung-ho Kang with the Pirates is a fan favorite as well as Kim with the Orioles. So a lot of MLB hats, and then the games there are amazing. You know, the game's great atmosphere. They have a chance for every single player to come up to the plate. So, you know, they go up there and their fans are, you know, banging on drums and the thunder sticks, and you've got cheerleaders and an MC for each team, and it's on both sides too. So, like, the, you know, visiting side has their own side of the stadium where they have their cheers and their, you know, kind of fans, and the home team has their other side. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy atmosphere, kind of going back and forth, and really even in between innings, they're out there kind of doing all these crazy cheers and stunts. So, yeah, it's an amazing atmosphere, and definitely a lot of baseball fans there. And I got a chance to go to some games. The Nexen Heroes is a team that both Park and Jung-ho Kang played for before they were posted by the team. So I got to see some of their home games there at their new dome stadium called Gocheok Stadium. And then also I went to a few games at Jamsil Stadium, which is the outdoor baseball stadium where the LG Twins and Doosan Bears play. And that's kind of right by where the Olympics were held in Seoul in 88. So pretty cool atmosphere at both stadiums. You know, talked to a lot of executives, scouts, you know, agents based in Korea, some players, a lot of people involved in Korean baseball, just to kind of get a feel for it. And so, yeah, there'll be a lot of stories coming on kind of, you know, Korean baseball in general, on Byung-ho Park and kind of some background on him, you know, who kind of are the big stars there now, who could come over and make an impact like we've seen so far. Because right now, you know, there's seven major leaguers, you know, that are from Korea that are in the major leagues right now. And you can definitely tell that because they even sell authentic MLB gear throughout MLB stores and throughout the city. They kind of have the seven major leaguers patch they have in a lot of that memorabilia and a lot of the, you know, jerseys and hats that you can buy there. So, yeah, like I said, there's just a ton of, you know, you can tell it's a country that really loves their baseball because there's MLB stuff pretty much everywhere you look.
Absolutely, yeah. I know from my own experience covering Shinsu Chu in Cleveland back in the day just how rabid that fan base is. And, I mean, literally there was no nugget of information about Chu on or off the field, too big or too small. That they had interest in. So I can only imagine how much that's exploded in the time since as more players have infiltrated the big leagues. And yeah, Rhett, more coming. You know, I've talked to scouts who get over there, and they say from a position player side, the talent over there is probably on par or better within Japan at this point. So certainly interesting to see how that all develops, and look forward to your work on the Twins website. There is one article on there that's worth checking out about the marketing elements behind this, some interesting stuff. As the Twins market themselves in a new market entirely, with Park being part of the club. But, Rhett, while you were gone, things did not get significantly better for the Twins. Some bad injury news here. First of all, Glenn Perkins, as we figured, things were trending towards shoulder surgery there. He's done for the year. And also Phil Hughes. He'll require surgery for thoracic outlet syndrome. So, that's two key members of the pitching staff lost a season-ending surgery within a couple weeks of each other.
Yeah, definitely tough news. And last year, both those guys had tough seasons, at least in the second half there. You know, obviously 2 years ago, Hughes was the Twins' best starting pitcher, you know, broke the MLB record for strikeout-to-walk ratio, had a great season, got rewarded with a contract extension. And then last year really kind of struggled and had a tough year and, you know, kind of got back into better shape coming into this year. There were high hopes for him to kind of bounce back and have a better season. It didn't really happen, really struggled early. There's people kind of questioning, you know, what was going on with him, and he kept saying he was healthy. Sure enough, you know, he gets hit, you know, goes to the bullpen and then gets hit in the knee by a line drive. You know, that would have kept him out for most of the season anyway, I think. And then sure enough, you know, he did have, you know, this thoracic outlet syndrome as well in his shoulders. He's going to have part of his rib removed and miss the rest of the year. I think they're hopeful, though, he'll be ready for spring training. But still a tough loss for this team. a guy they had a lot, you know, a lot invested in and a lot of hopes in. And same kind of thing with Perkins. You know, Perkins last year was perfect in save opportunities in the first half of the season. Was an All-Star for a third straight year. You know, got the, I think it was the save, or at least pitched the ninth inning of the All-Star game. And then second half, you know, had a lot of injuries, some kind of neck and, you know, even some shoulder back things last year. And sure enough, this year it's been more of a shoulder thing here. And tried to pitch through it, tried to get, you know, throw some bullpen to get back to it. And sure enough, it just kept kind of not responding properly. And after finally checking with a doctor out in Los Angeles, Dr. Alatrash, who's the Dodgers team doctor, it was determined that surgery would be the best recourse. Perkins said he has no regrets in terms of choosing to, you know, kind of rehab it instead of getting surgery right away, because that was kind of the right, even the doctor told him that was the right course of action. There was a chance that, you know, maybe it would be get better if he kept rehabbing it and kind of resting in and waiting, but it never really got to that point. It kept kind of where he could throw off flat ground and be fine, but then, you know, once he kind of got on that mound, it kept bothering him. So he'll have the surgery, and he's expected to be ready for spring training as well. So at least in that sense, they'll both, you know, not hopefully not miss, you know, the beginning of next year. But with, you know, with Perkins with a shoulder surgery, though, you never really know. You know, the odds of coming back from that are a little bit tough. You know, Tommy John, much, much higher, you know, success rate. This is definitely a chance. This could be, you know, a career-altering surgery for him. You never know how he's going to respond. You know, same with Hughes. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see if these guys can bounce back next year, or if these are, you know, two guys that are in their early 30s, if these are kind of, the, you know, kind of career-altering, you know, injuries here.
Yeah, from what I read about Perkins' surgery, they go in there and find it was even worse than they thought. That was the labrum detached from the bone, so he was obviously trying to work through some major damage there and ultimately just not able to do it. And but you're right, Rhett, given that age and that specific area you're talking about, it's tough. So he's got a long road ahead of him. It's a short road back for Miguel Sano. He should be back soon, although they did extend his rehab a little bit to get him more at-bats and allowed it sort of find his hitting stroke. But what's the expectation here with Sano? Because obviously the right field experiment wasn't going particularly well. You know, could his return come at Park's expense in any way in terms of playing time? What do you anticipate here?
Yeah, it's a good question. You're right. It definitely could happen with Yvonne Park has definitely struggled recently. I'm not so sure if they'll decide to option Park yet. I mean, there's certainly been some talk of that even. But I think they'd rather see him kind of work through his issues in the major leagues. And they also truthfully have a big Yvonne Park day coming up here at Target Field on July 5th that I'm sure they'd like him to be at. But maybe, you know, option somebody else and maybe see Park see a little bit less playing time and let Sano DH a little bit here and there. And they said they're not really, you know, probably maybe see some time at third base. But obviously, Kloof's there. He's kind of also in a little bit of a slump right now as well. The right field will probably still see time there. It's still kind of be his primary position to see, you know, his playing time there. But they kind of want to see him get going a little bit here, and, you know, during his rehab assignment. Hasn't really happened yet offensively. Once he kind of gets going offensively here, he should be up, you know, probably within a couple of days. And it'll be a big boost if he can kind of get back to the offense he provided last year in the second half. Would be a big welcome for this team. His, you know, first half before the injury, you know, he kind of would show spurts of it. He'd get in these kind of like home run streaks almost, where it kind of homers kind of kept him in bunches. But I kind of hoping for a little bit more consistency from him, maybe cut back on those strikeouts a little bit. So, yeah, it would definitely be a very interesting thing to watch second half to see if he can kind of get back to that same guy he was as a rookie and kind of get out of the sophomore slump a little bit.
Well, we knew they weren't going to send Park out to the minors while you were in South Korea. That wouldn't have been right. That would have been bad timing there. It would have been a dark day in South Korea. But last thing, Brett, how about Brian Dozier? Kind of come alive at the plate here in the month of June. Entered the month of June with a .202 average, 5 homers, and 17 RBI in 46 games. In just this month, in 25 games, he's hitting .361 with 7 homers and 19 RBI, so significant uptick there.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome news for the Twins because, you know, I think people are kind of worried in that, you know, he had such a, you know, tough second half last year, and then kind of he's always been a first-half player. So for him to kind of start out so slow this year, people were kind of wondering, well, you know, if he did the whole thing, you look at from the second half of last year till, you know, up until late May, it was pretty ugly numbers, to be honest. He was one of the, you know, lower batting averages in the majors. People wanting to maybe did the league figure him out. You know, was he too pull happy and that was going to kind of be his downfall? But sure enough, he's proved that was not the case. It was just kind of an early slump for him. I know we've talked about it a lot, but he, you know, did a lot of stuff with his mechanics, worked a lot with Tom Brudansky to get those kind of ironed out. And his approach, I think he's trying to show that it still works. You know, as much as pitchers have kind of changed the way they throw to him, they don't throw him as many inside fastballs that he can turn on. He's still kind of expanded his plate coverage a little bit this year, especially this month. Having a breakout month here, I think he's already reached his, you know, career high in hits for a month. So, yeah, a great sign for the Twins. You never know. I would be surprised, but, you know, with the way the season's going and the fact they have, you know, some top info prospects like Jorge Polanco, whether he'd be, you know, trade material. Obviously, we talked about Trevor Plouffe being a more likely option, but at the same time, Plouffe's having a tougher year. But at the same time, even if it's not just to increase his trade value, it just at least shows that Dozier still has something left. It's like, you know, he's gotten figured out by the league or anything like that. He is, you know, even his overall numbers now because of the big month really aren't that much different than his overall career numbers from, you know, this season. So definitely a good sign, and we'll see if he can kind of keep it up. But certainly good to see from Dozier this month.
Yeah, and whether it involves Dozier or not, certainly going to be a lot of trade talk surrounding this club in the coming weeks. So we'll continue to check in with Rhett on that each week. Until then, I want to thank him for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.